Second night of a back-to-back for the Phoenix Suns. They head to the Queen City, Charlotte, North Carolina. Didn't know it was called the Queen City. Always thought Cincinnati was the Queen City. And guess what? It is. There's two Queen Cities, Charlotte, Cincinnati. The more you know, the less you care. But the Suns go to Charlotte to play a Hornets team that is decimated by injuries, having challenges in numerous facets of the game, a team that is 29th in points per game, a team that is last in the league in net rating. They leave with the win, as well they should. After playing a competitive basketball game against the Boston Celtics just a night before, Phoenix does what they're supposed to do. They take care of business in kind of a lackluster manner. It's a really interesting game. It's definitely something that we want to talk about here on the Suns Jam Session podcast. So thank you if you're joining us, whether you're watching live or later, or you're listening another time. Appreciate you spending some time taking it out of your day to hang out and hear this sultry, sexy voice. I can't do this thing alone, and Matthew's working a little bit late, so I got the next best thing. If it has to do with the Phoenix Suns, you know he's going to make a video about it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's right. Enter the Geek. Suns Geek is back in the building. It's been less than a week. I know you're getting over a cold. Unfortunate for you, man. You're like on spring break and you get sick. Does it always happen that way?
No, that's the first time, man. I don't know what happened. I don't know if, you know, because I work with kids, as some of you guys know. I don't know if one of them got me sick. So if it looks like I'm crying during the show, it's probably because I am crying. It's because I am sick, just getting over it. But I am feeling a lot better, man. And it hasn't been all that bad. Gotten to spend some time with the family and just relax, get caught up on some sleep. But it would have been nice to be like somewhat healthy during spring break and, you know, be normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's unfortunate because you work so hard to get those opportunities to have some extra time and some rest and relaxation. It's unfortunate that during that time you've been under the weather. And I feel like it's almost like our bodies do that to us, right? Your body's like, listen, okay, let's just get to this week. And so your subconscious is literally like, okay, if we can just get to this week, I can recoup and recover. And the moment you like walk out and you're like, I'm done, I'm on vacation, I'm on break, your body's like, cool, we can get some rest and recover. Bam. And sick.
Yep.
I swear it happens to me more often than it should.
Yeah, it was a wicked cold too, man. I had like body aches and everything. It took me like 3 or 4 days just to feel somewhat good. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. I love the shirt, by the way. Rocking a Wolverine shirt. I'm a huge Wolverine fan. So too, appreciate you taking some time and joining me for this edition of the Suns Jam Session podcast. Plenty to talk about. Tell everybody where they can follow you if they happen to be watching on the Suns Jam Session or Brightside channels.
Yep. Well, thank you again so much for collaborating with me once again, man. Yep. Suns Geek here. Just search Suns Geek. You'll find me. YouTube, TikTok for as long as it's around, and Twitter, Instagram. Just search Suns Geek and you will find me.
And if you happen to be watching this on Suns Geek's channel, my name is John Voida, managing editor, Brightside of the Sun. So you can read my writing at brightsideofthesun.com. You can follow me at Darth Voida on Twitter, and you can follow our show at Suns Jam on Instagram, Twitter, and as long as TikTok's around, you can follow us there as well. So appreciate you, everybody. We're going to pop into this one. I'm just going to have a Diet Dr. Pepper. I don't know about you. Are you going to be drinking some pop syrup?
I'm saving my drinking for St. Patty's Day. So I just got some delicious water here with electrolytes. You know what I mean? So got to take care of myself, you know? Like I said, I've been sleeping and drinking nothing but this last 3 days.
All right. Well, I'll pop this for you. Suns fans, if you're watching, you can pop one open, light a bowl if you want to. Let's talk about this game. To 96, the Phoenix Suns survive the fourth quarter against the Charlotte Hornets. Just a weird game, kind of overall, which brings me to my first question.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
Suns Geek, I gotta ask. What the hell is wrong with Suns in the fourth quarter? Like, is there at any point where this narrative will not exist? Because they opened up on allowing a 16-2 run to the Hornets again tonight. What happened tonight?
Like you said, John, if it looks like I'm crying, it's probably because I'm crying during the fourth quarters, man. I don't know. I hope that they will end this narrative. And you know what? Even for the casual fans out there, it's okay to have that narrative about the Phoenix Suns because, damn it, it is true. I don't know what happens, man. And you know what? I don't mean to sound too negative because, you know me, I like to keep it pretty positive. This was just a weird game, man. Like, you would have thought, like, the Hornets were down so many bodies. We were on the road back-to-back. We should have just had this game over, done by halftime. But that's not how the Phoenix Suns like to do it. This game, like you said early in the podcast, this game was just lackadaisical. What was going on, man? Like, just poor shooting for the most part. Just kind of the energy level wasn't really high. Like, you know me, I'm normally taking so many different notes here. I barely have any notes for this game because it was just such a lackadaisical and kind of just, you know, play it by the motions game. It was weird, man.
Yeah, it's one of the stranger ones that I see, and it's obviously weird for us out here in Arizona. The game starts at 4 p.m. our time. It's a rainy day here in Phoenix, so it's a day that already has this kind of interesting feel around it locally. And then you turn on the TV, and the Suns open up 10-3, and you're like, okay, this makes sense. We are definitely not playing the Boston Celtics, right? Because this team in the Charlotte Hornets doesn't have the same defensive spacing that the Celtics had just a night ago, where every time the Suns touched the ball, a closeout was there, somebody was playing physical, no shot went uncontested. And that's how the game opened. And then the Suns immediately, it's almost like they went out there, they had a little burst of energy. They're like, oh shit, this is going to be easy. Hey guys, this is going to be easy. Yeah, man, I think it's going to be easy. And they gave up like an 11-0 run.
Yep.
And that's kind of, and they, the reason they won this game is because they had a stellar third quarter.
Yeah.
But the whole game was very uninspiring, unengaged. And you don't want to sit there, and to your point, you don't want to be negative in a win, but it's like, you got to be better than that, Suns. Like, the challenge that the Suns have had this season is they come off to the intent viewers like yourself and myself and everybody who's watching and listening as a team that attempts to simply turn it on, that they're playing to get to the postseason, and they think that there's this magical switch that they can flip. And they kind of did that tonight in the third quarter. They flipped the switch. They locked down defensively. But the challenge in trying to do that is twofold, in my opinion. One, if you're trying to turn on and off this switch, you're not used to the energy that it takes to do so in case you need to do it for a sustained period, aka an entire game. Because the second point is, when you hit the postseason, these are the best teams in the NBA. And if you're trying to quote unquote lock in against them, you're not going to be able to do it for a long period of time because you're not in the right mindset. The mental fatigue that it takes to do that. Yeah, the Suns right now are like, okay, if we just do it for a quarter, we'll win this game. Well, you did. But you're going to need three quarters of that or four quarters of that when you're going against whoever we're going to play in the first round, second round, Western Conference Finals and Finals if you want to make it that far. You have to have that ability to stay engaged the entire time, mentally engaged. This team was not mentally engaged tonight. You can't tell me that they were.
If you're a team like the Denver Nuggets, the reigning champions, or who we just played, the Boston Celtics, you can kind of coast at this time of year. You can even coast all the way until the final game of the season. Who cares? Because, you know, they're the defending champs, and the Celtics are the best team in the East. And even other teams like that, you know what I mean? They have the right to coast. The Phoenix Suns have not earned the right to kind of coast through this whole month. And I get it. It is March. This is like the dog days in the NBA season. But Devin Booker even said it in an interview yesterday. He's like, we're checking the standings. We know like every win matters at this point. So the Phoenix Suns, and like, I try to understand it through two sides. Like, you know, I try to look at it through like a player perspective, but also like we as fans and we as people who cover this team want the Phoenix Suns to pretty much dominate, especially teams like the Hornets, you know what I mean? This was just a strange game. The Phoenix Suns cannot be playing like this. We need more of the third quarter that we saw more consistently, especially against the better teams in the NBA. Not really sure if I made a lot of sense there, but the Phoenix Suns have no reason to be kind of coasting right now.
It's perfect sense. They are stuck in the middle of the Western Conference standings, fighting for the right to not be in the play-in.
Exactly.
Fighting for that. Every, like you said, Booker said it, every game matters. They're not playing like every game matters, like every moment matters. They're playing like, okay, we know we can turn it on. We know we have the better talent, and they did tonight easily. There was no question that this team had more talent than the opposition. But to go out and only score 107 points, to win by 11 total points, it's, again, a win is a win. And 2 weeks from this, from today, Suns Geek, we'll look back and we won't even remember this game because it was a win and it counted. And you got to take them however you can get them. But it's a bad precedent. It's bad culture to have those kind of things, right? It's like the teams that don't practice hard don't perform well in games because they don't practice hard. It's a mentality thing. That's why, gosh, they were talking about it. God, what was I listening to yesterday? Who were they talking about on the local broadcast when the Suns were playing the Celtics about how hard a certain team practices? And it's like they practice so hard, and that's and you see it on the court because the game is a reprieve from how intense the practices are.
Right.
And maybe it was football I was listening to.
Well, I'm pretty sure Frank Vogel was preaching that earlier in the season, and we haven't seen much of that.
Yeah, it's the whole, you know, talk the walk.
Yeah.
Talk or walk the talk. Walk the talk. Okay, you're doing a lot of yapping, but you're not performing at that level. You're saying we need to do Frank Vogel saying it all the time. Well, we need to shoot more threes.
We're going to be shoot scrappy. More threes.
We're going to be scrappy. We're going to shoot more threes. Well, they did shoot a bunch of threes tonight, but they only hit on 11 of them. But this is the time, the type of game where you try to get right in some capacity, but yeah. It's just this perpetual issue. And that's why, you know, I talked about it a little bit on last night's podcast, how I've accepted how I just don't think that this team is it. And it's tough to come to that conclusion, but I have yet to see anything where there's flags being waved that are green flags. I'm like, hey, this team could have it. And I was talking with Matthew a little bit, I think after the pod last night, and I go, the difference is when you're watching the 64 win Suns, there's an excitement. There's an expectation that you go into the playoffs because you're like, wow, holy shit, we could win this whole thing. And obviously that season ended the way it did. Last season was such a disappointment because there were so many injuries and there was so much lack of continuity around them. And then we traded our entire wing depth to get Kevin Durant. So you knew going into that postseason that this was a fractured team that, although they won the first round and eventually lost in six games to the eventual NBA champs, you knew that there was some promise ahead because of what they displayed. But this season hasn't shown me anything when it comes to the scrappiness that Frank Vogel mentioned, the grit that is needed to win a championship, the way to shut down opposing teams like the Denver Nuggets are doing right now to the Spurs as we speak. They just come out and just smack them in the face. Now, granted, that's a team with organic chemistry and there's a ton of variables there, but I'm just not seeing that from the Suns. And tonight is even in a win, I have this kind of utter disappointment that this team just didn't play inspired basketball in any facet of the game other than Nurkic.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I thought Nurkic actually had a pretty good game in the Celtics game yesterday, too.
He did.
Kind of got overlooked. And yeah, you're right, man. And I think it's John Tran's comment kind of just sums it up perfectly with what you were saying right there. It's just disappointing. This team had big expectations, more than a lot of previous teams. Yes. That's a pretty much sums up the Phoenix Suns season right there. And the key word in that, and again, I hate to be negative, Suns fans, please don't kill me for being
negative.
My favorite Phoenix, you know, basketball team, but it's just the key word in that is disappointing. I mean, we have Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and other great players on this team, and we're pretty much in the play-in tournament. You know what I mean? It just makes zero sense. I don't understand it. And I will say this, though, on a positive note, the NBA has to be loving this right now because it's the Lakers, the Warriors, the Suns, and whoever else is in there, too, fighting for the play-in tournament. You know the ratings are going to be sky high.
Mavericks.
It will be exciting. I will say that's kind of a positive about this. Yeah, the Mavericks. Thank you.
Yeah, so those are all very marketable teams for them. So, exactly. You know, and disappointing is a good word, and it's because, again, that this team loses all semblance of how to play basketball in the fourth quarter. Shout-out to Biscuits and the Bear, $11 in the Super Chat. Thank you for supporting the channel, providing $11 because the Suns won by 11 points. And Biscuits and the Bear says, these fourth quarter woes need to stop. Losing the quarter 15 to 29 is pretty bad when up by 25. Yeah, that's the challenge with this team. Where
that's the game right there.
Yeah, I mean, if this team in the second half comes out and just blows this team away, you can sit there and go, okay, second night of a back-to-back, which, by the way, the Suns are 8-4 now in second nights of back-to-back.
Not bad at all.
But second night of a back-to-back, maybe a little lackadaisical in that first half because of travel. But if they came out in that third quarter like they did and they dropped 38 points on them and held them to 22, and then they come out in the fourth quarter and just put them away, this is a completely different conversation that you and I are having, Geek, but it's just this continual lack of grit. And I think I've used that word about three times on this pod, but that's where I sit with this team right now. There's a lack of grit. There's a lack of focus. There's a lack of finish him in them. And that's what this team needs with, as you mentioned, the talent that they have. You should have the ability to be like, finish him.
You know what, too, is like, I remember Eric Gordon earlier in the season talking about like how this team should average like 130 or more a game. And you're using the word grit. Like, I agree with you, man. Like, this team has veterans and players who have played in the league for a long time. Like I mentioned, our three superstars and everything. Obviously, we're an offensive team. We should just be, you know, in the Mortal Kombat, Scorpion, finish him and all that stuff. We should be doing that. Fatalities on teams all the damn time, and it just has not happened. And it seems like a lot of what Frank Vogel and a lot of our key players were preaching earlier in the season, man, it just seems like that has not come to fruition, and it sucks.
Speaking of Scorpion, I total curveball here. So today I'm at home where I work from home on Fridays, and I'm hanging shelves for my daughter that we bought off of Amazon. And I open one of the packages and I start reading the instructions, and I look down and a fucking scorpion was shipped. Yes, it was shipped with the package. All of a sudden I was like, holy crap, there's a scorpion here. And that was kind of terrifying. That was kind of terrifying.
Yeah, I would have freaked out, man. That's insane.
Yeah, see, luckily I've lived at a few properties locally where there's been a lot of scorpions. In fact, I used to do whenever the full moon comes out is when you can always find scorpions. And if you use a black light, you can see them on the walls. So I used to go scorpion hunting back in the day.
If you can see the screen right now.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. That right there. That was,
dude, that's a big scorpion.
It was a big sucker, man. It was
freaked out.
Yeah, that thing was, I mean, it had shipped, and we had got that package like 3 weeks ago. So that thing's just been sitting sealed in the garage. So it's not like it got in there from my garage. We don't have scorpions on here.
Good God.
Yeah, there you go, Jamsters. We thought we'd share that little piece of information. What player do you want to talk? I think we should talk about Nurk first. Yep. Let's start with the positive. Nurk.
Delicious definition, make them boys go crazy.
Oh. 13 points from Yusuf Nurkic tonight on 5 of 9 shooting. 21 total rebounds, 16 defensive, 5 offensive. His second game back-to-back with 20-plus rebounds. He's had a 30 rebound performance this season. He had a couple assists, a block as well. When we talk about all the issues that we mentioned at the forefront of this podcast, playing with grit, playing with focus, having a chip on your shoulder, that none of that applies to Yusuf Nurkic. Yusuf Nurkic was fantastic tonight in every aspect of the game, as well he should be, right? As well as all the Suns should be. But he's the one who, there was no one down low who can match his size and aggressiveness. He knew it. He took advantage of it. What a fantastic performance again by Yusuf Nurkic.
Yeah, man. Like you said, back-to-back games with 20 rebounds or more. It's absolutely incredible. He's already been setting, breaking rebounding records this season. He's going to continue to do it, just being a dominant force down there, and definitely knows the scouting report. You know what I mean? Like, he knows when the team doesn't have a big, kind of like we know with the OKC Thunder when he grabbed 30 rebounds, even a little bit against Boston in a way too. Cause again, he had a really good game last night. I thought I got overlooked, if you will.
Yeah. When you're playing old man Al Horford, like you should own him. And he did. And he did though. Like he should have, and therefore he did. Like that's the problem. Everything that right there is like the problem with the Suns right now. It's like they should, but they don't. Not with Nurkic. It's like they should, he should, therefore he did.
But no, man, just being aggressive down there, pounding the paint, grabbing rebounds, being a force, just doing what Yusuf Nurkic does. And real quick, man, Sam Cooper had a tweet from, you know, the Timeline podcast.
Yep.
He had a tweet about something about Devin Booker and, you know, what he was saying about Yusuf Nurkic. And then I pulled up a quote from November, and this is what Devin Booker said about Yusuf Nurkic in November. And I quote, "His IQ for a big is off the charts, and he talks, he communicates. He tells you what he sees, what he thinks. Everything is collaborative. Somebody knows the game like that, knows rotations, knows how to play. I listen to him. That is Devin Booker saying that about Jusuf Nurkić. When you talk about fit for this team, it is incredible. It is solid. And that is Jusuf Nurkić right there.
Yeah. And, you know, a godsend for the way that he's impacted this team and is one of the few guys who you can kind of count on. You know, and again, we know that come the postseason, he will be hunted and he will be somebody who will become a defensive liability at times. And the Suns are going to have to adjust accordingly. But what he brings from an attitude standpoint, it's kind of that Jay Crowder-ness, if you will. Yeah. He got a technical foul tonight because he backed down Nick Richards twice, knocked him on his ass again, and then stared at him like Nurk does. He's like, he just kind of gives him that look. Miles Bridges comes over, swats the ball out of his hand, and then Nurk gets the tech. But you know, I don't care. I like that he consistently has that edge to him. You need somebody with edge. I wish that the rest of the Suns starters would play a little less cerebrally. You know, they talk about how they're all basketball junkies. I wish they'd play with a little less cerebrally and a little bit more with their heart instead of their minds at times. And that's kind of, you know, encapsulates everything that is challenging with this Suns team right now. We need more Nurk attitude. We need more athleticism from the big three.
And real quick, too, I remember you and I were talking about this, and me and Matthew were talking about this so many times earlier this season. I was like, oh, you know, we just need time with this team. Well, we obviously are out of time now. We can't use that excuse anymore. And that's where, like, you know, like there was a turnover tonight where Devin Booker passed the ball to Grayson Allen and he like ducked. You know what I mean? Like, we can't see that anymore. Like, that is unacceptable at this point. And that's where I will say, like, one positive of this is, like, at least we have the big three on the court, but you can still tell that they're still figuring each other out. And that's not what we want to be seeing midway through March. You know what I mean?
I hear you, but it's what we have, you know, and with 15 games left, like that's what you have to utilize these last 15 as is to develop some chemistry. Now, to the Suns' credit tonight, they only had 10 turnovers.
Yeah.
Now, they had like six in the first quarter, but here's what I find crazy. Okay, don't look at the stats. How many turnovers did the Hornets have?
15?
They had five.
Really?
Isn't that crazy? Huh. Like a sloppy team with very unfortunate.
That's why roster. I said 15. I was like, I feel like it would have been a lot more. Wow.
Yeah.
Props to the Hornets, man.
but it seems, you know, a lot of teams are like this, to where even with all of the upheaval in their roster at the trade deadline with injuries, they still hold on to the ball better than the Suns do. The Suns just make some boneheaded plays.
And you know, I've been big on that too. You know, I hate when they turn the ball over.
Oh, absolutely. Because they're momentum shifters, they're momentum changers. That's how the fourth quarter started tonight, was back to back turnovers and then an offensive foul by the Suns.
I feel like we had a lot in the third quarter too.
We had zero. We had zero. Yes.
Oh, never mind that. I don't know what I'm talking about.
but that's why we went for, you know, 38 and held them to 22, because we didn't turn the ball over. Right. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, and I've talked about this before, but it's that simple. Now, if we do want to talk positive about the Suns tonight, plenty of ball movement and assisting on their 40 made shots. 31 of those came at the result of an assist from a teammate, which is absolutely paramount. And that brings us to Devin Booker's performance tonight.
Big Dick Booker.
So Booker tonight, much akin to the rest of the big three, a tough shooting night. 6 of 18 for Booker from the field. You know, if you look at the big three just in their totality and how they shot tonight, they ended up combined going for 17 of 45 shooting. So, you know, Just not a good night for the big three. 37.7% from the field overall. But Booker had 21 points and 11 assists in this game and was the catalyst in the third quarter and helped us survive the fourth quarter with the way that he was engaged. He was the one who did, I feel, kind of hone in and lock down when needed in this game outside of Jusuf Nurkić.
Yeah, I mean, it's a make-or-miss league, like Kevin Durant always says, and that was pretty much what happened with Devin Booker last game and this game, but at least he got it going in the third quarter. And I don't mean this, like, as a negative, but we've seen kind of Devin Booker do this from time to time, like, especially around this month. It's weird because usually he's on fire in the month of March. He puts up, like, really big numbers, but we've also seen him kind of take a dip when the season is wrapping up. I remember making a video about it a long time ago. I was like, Devin Booker struggling. Should we be worried or something like that? But it just happens. You know what I mean? We know he will turn it up when it matters. We know he will turn it up in the playoffs. And hey, if there's ever a time to be in like a, what I'm good, put it as a shooting slump, I guess, get it out of the way now. Same thing kind of with the big three. You kind of want them to get this shooting slump over now. But you know, it happens.
No, 100%. It's definitely something that, you know, these are the dog days, if you will. Yeah. And it's frustrating because to see Devin Booker have a shooting slump, like you said, he had 14 of his 21 points in that third quarter.
Yeah.
So definitely, you know, can turn it on when needed. But that being said, I still would like to see, you know, the big three holistically. Against the Hornets, man. Like, yeah. And I feel kind of weird saying it because part of my, I don't know, personality as a fan is to never truly get overly frustrated in a win, you know, and to sit there and be like, everybody should score. They need to dominate more. A win's a win. You know, that's always
why. By 78 points.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I try
to 2K.
But I just feel like based on what we've seen thus far this year, there's something that we need to see that they need to feel as a team more than anything to really lock themselves in and know that they can be who they want to be, who again, say who they are. They say they're one thing, but we're seeing something else. So
yeah, real quick, I'm sorry to cut you off. Even though I give a lot of crap to the McHale and Cam stands out there, I will say this. Even I will say, at least with that version of the Suns teams, we at least knew when we were going to win. You know what I mean? Like there'd be times that the game would be at halftime, like, oh, we won. You know what I mean? Like you just kind of knew it. It was like vibes and momentum and chemistry. But this team, I'm like locked onto the screen. That's why I do take so many notes, because I'm like, I don't know if we're going to win every game. I'm sorry to cut you off, but
no, you're right though.
How I feel, man.
No, you're right. And that's the challenge that this team has is it's this uncertainty that that shouldn't exist.
Yeah, that's the worst.
It shouldn't exist, Suns Geek. It shouldn't exist. You know,
that's why I'm crying, man. I'm crying. I know.
Let's talk a little bit about Kevin Wayne Durant.
Who the heck are you?
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
Y'all know who I am.
Did anybody see a sniper? Did anybody see anything?
I'm one of the best players to ever play a game.
So Kevin Durant tonight, an ugly shooting night, if you will. Total of 13 points in the game. Ends up going 5 of 15 from the field. Did have the 8 rebounds, the 5 assists, the 1 steal, the 3 turnovers. I don't know how long you want to talk about a poor KD performance. Like you said kind of earlier, the entire big three seems to be having a down little kind of road trip. Yeah, they're slumping, but they are 2-1 on the road trip, so you can't be overly frustrated. But, you know, what'd you see from Kevin Durant tonight? Why was he having so much trouble from the field? Was it simply just an off shooting night, or was there something the Hornets were doing defensively that is of concern?
I wouldn't really say it's a concern necessarily. It could have just been maybe the shooting slump for KD. I mean, I feel like he was trying his best to contribute on other areas in a way, because he had what, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, I believe. So trying to contribute somehow, but 13 points, you know what I mean? Only 3 turnovers, bad shooting all around. We saw a couple possessions where it looked like he was trying to take a charge and it kind of backfired on him. Like one play was from that, how do you pronounce that? I can't pronounce that guy's name.
Michich.
He like tried to take a charge from him, then he just drove in. There's one play where Brandon Miller was in the corner. KD tried to take a charge and Brandon Miller just splashed the 3 in his eye. So I don't know, man, just kind of a weird game. And if that's the worst Kevin Durant game we're going to get all season, hopefully that is the case. I guess I'll take it. But yeah, just a weird shooting night for KD, man. It sucked.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It comes off of the heels of a disappointing second half performance against the Celtics in which he shot 2 of 11 from the field. So 2 of 11 from the field, second half against the Celtics, comes out tonight, goes 5 of 15 against a subpar team because he was open a lot. He had his opportunities. They just didn't fall down.
Make or miss league.
And, you know, again, I'm not concerned because it's Kevin Durant. And that's kind of the point I wanted to make is, like you said, off shooting night, if this is the worst Kevin Durant you're going to get and we still win the game, like that's fantastic.
And he's 13, 8, and 5 for what it's worth.
Yes. You know what I mean?
So
yes, and he can have 13-8-5 for another 10 years if he really wants to in this league, because he's just such a pure scorer. But again, I think that more than anything, Kevin Durant is really adjusting to the new physical NBA, right? This is something I talked about on the podcast last night about how post the All-Star break, the league officials are allowing players to play more physically. And I went over a lot of statistics last night as it pertains to the Suns and how you can literally look and see how total fouls are down, total free throw attempts are down, not only for the Suns, but for their opponents as well. It's almost as if Adam Silver locked everybody in a room in Indianapolis and said, hey, officials, we are going to let some more stuff slide. This, and there's been a lot of proponents of this on a media side, Ryan Russillo being one of them, who you see the players like Steph Curry who will run down the lane and then jump into somebody and then shoot the ball, and then they call a foul on the opposition. It's like, well, that guy had no chance. He was literally standing there. He got jumped into, and it was his fault. Yeah. I feel like Kevin Durant is adjusting to that because he is being played unbelievably physical, always has been, because of the length that he possesses, and it's unguardable when his shot is the way that it is. So he gets tapped, he gets pushed, he gets prodded a lot, and I feel like he is the one who's kind of in the adjustment mode more than anyone on the Suns in understanding how this new league is being officiated at this point in the season.
It's funny too, man, because I feel like Kevin Durant kind of in a weird way sides with the referees a lot. Like, you'll barely hear him criticize a ref, at least in his Phoenix Suns tenure. I feel like that's how it's been. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And even though we all give a lot of crap to the referees, especially me, they do have the hardest job in the world, and I understand it. So I am hoping that what you said about Adam Silver, like getting them in, you know, Indiana and locking them in a room and saying, let these guys play. I really hope that that's the case going forward, because my biggest gripe is when there's little ticky-tack fouls, when you barely make contact with a guy and it's a foul. You know what I mean? Like, I've always said, you can't touch anybody in the NBA. You can't even breathe on them. And but now I hope that that's the case, to where these guys will play more physical. There's more, you know, less ticky-tack fouls, less free throws throughout. Like tonight, like, it was what, 16 for 20 for the Suns, 20 for 27 for the Hornets. Like, that's how basketball should be played. You know what I mean?
Yeah, agreed.
Don't really know where I was going with all that, but I just hope that the NBA will continue that, and that there's better officiating.
Agreed. And Adrian Wojnarowski had a piece on ESPN that came out tonight, and it says, in a meeting with NBA's competition committee on Tuesday, the league office outlined an increased officiating focus on offensive players hunting out fouls and veering off pathways to the baskets into defenders, and how those points of emphasis have impacted a decrease in league scoring, according to a memo shared with teams and obtained by ESPN on Friday. Those officiating focuses that were outlined in January and February, point of emphasis memos that the league shared with the referees and team officials, are believed to have contributed to the recent decline in league scoring. And you see that tonight. The final score is 107-96.
Sounds like Kevin Durant, too, for some reason. I was just thinking of KD that whole time.
In the memo, the league describes itself as continuing to, quote unquote, evaluate the state of offensive versus defensive balance with a focus on legal guarding position and level of contact on pathway plays to the basket. So, and it says, despite a 4 point per game, 4 point per team decline in scoring and 1.9 decrease in fouls per team called in recent weeks, league officials told members of the committee there was no directive from the league to reduce scoring, according to the memo, which is horseshit.
Yeah, right.
Which I.
Yeah. Maybe that's because of all these crazy scoring outbursts that we witnessed.
Well, like, that's what it is.
February? Yeah,
exactly. That's what it is. Is you have Luka Doncic is scoring 72 and Embiid scoring 6.
Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah. And but that's an opportunity for the league to sit and look inwards and goes, well, hold on. Like, when Devin Booker scored 70 points, it was the highest that anybody had scored since Kobe Bryant nearly a decade prior. And all of a sudden, and with like a 3 week span, three players surpassed that mark. So, or got close to that mark. And Devin Booker one night had 62. So they're looking inward and going, well, what's causing this boom? And then all you have to do is watch one game. I don't care what game you're watching, put on any game in the NBA and just watch the officiating, and you're rewarding offensive players for attempting to just foul bait.
Yeah,
I mean, plain and simple, just foul bait. I mean, that's what it comes down to. So
that's Kevin Durant in a way, too, because he knows he can get away with it because he's earned it.
So. Well, But I don't know how much Kevin Durant foul baits, but I do know that he gets hacked a lot.
Yeah,
oh, and
yeah.
He's somebody who attacks the rim. He gets to certain spots and he gets hit on the elbow a ton. Yeah. And now those aren't being called.
And he's so hard to guard too. Obviously,
he is, and that's why you foul him. But because you know, even though they said, like, you know, quote unquote, there's been no league directive that you cannot do that. They're not calling it. And you can see KD, he's putting his hands out a lot, be like, when are you going to call that? Like, they're slapping the crap out. The Boston game that you were on the post game podcast last Saturday night, the one where we lost 117 to 107, you know, he was getting the shit hacked out of him in that second half. Boston just said, you know what, we're going to play physical. And there's certain teams that have that mentality. We're going to play physical. You can't call every foul. And in time, it's going to wear down the opposition. And the Suns aren't one of those teams. We're a finesse team. We're not a team that fouls a ton, per se. And the fouls that we do make aren't physical fouls. They're ticky-tack frustration fouls at times. So it'll be interesting moving forward to see how Kevin Durant performs, knowing that that defenders are allowed to play a little bit more physical on him, even though the league says otherwise. So,
and maybe this will be good for KD, man. I mean, we all know he's one of the greatest of all time, top five, top 10, wherever you want to put him, you know what I mean? And maybe this is a new challenge and step in KD's career, especially since he's, what, 35 or whatever. So we'll have to see, man.
It's going to be a challenge. We shall see. We shall see indeed. I want to talk about Grayson Allen a little
bit. Hi, Barbie.
Oh, hi, Alan.
Oh, Grayson, Grayson Allen, our fuck shit up guy.
So Grayson Allen tonight had 17 points on 6 of 12 shooting and 3 of 9 from beyond the arc, had 3 assists. The reason I bring him up is the fact that he shot the ball 12 times, right? So Booker has the most shot attempts with 18, then KD with 15. And then Allen with 12, Beal with 11. And Beal was 7 of 11 in this game. And we'll talk about him and how he's playing. Grayson Allen taking a lot of shots in this game. Are you for or against Grayson shooting that much?
Oh, I'm totally for it, man. Like, I know the 3 for 9 or whatever looks bad and everything, but 6 for 12 from the game. And really, I just thought he had a lot of patience in this game. I feel like he's had a lot of patience the last few games, especially in that Celtics game where he only missed one shot, by the way, in the Celtics game. Mm-hmm. Sort of like Nurkic, had an underrated performance and everything. And like, yeah, I know 3 for 9 was bad, but 17 points tonight, 3 assists. We all know that he plays hard and competes. I want Grayson Allen to shoot more because I say this a lot on the podcast and I say this a lot in my videos and everything. You know, Nurkic points are a bonus. Grayson points are a bonus because we all know the big three can at least put up 90. At least we want them to do that. You know what I mean? So anytime that he can go off for a big game, it's just bonus points there. I want Grayson Allen to shoot more, especially on nights when we're just letting it fly and the ball's actually going in. That's when you want Grayson just going nuts with the ball.
I completely agree. I think that if Frank Vogel is making statements pregame about how this team needs to shoot the three ball more, then we should see more Grayson Allen shots. You take a look at this season overall, and I mean, he's had some games where he has gone just absolutely crazy. The most shot attempts that he's had, 22 shot attempts in a win against, or a loss, I'm sorry, against the Dallas Mavericks on Christmas. You know, he had 19 shot attempts once, 17 a couple times, 16, 15, 50. But this right here is only the 11th time this season he shot 12 or more. You take a look at if he shoots 12 or more, and he's averaging, you know, 20-something points a game. So 17 tonight, kind of right on par. A great ancillary player, and as you said, if the big three is taking care of their side of it and you can still get him the ball, I know there's a balance to offense and there's a balance to the way that the shots are allocated, but if you want to live up on your promise, Frank Vogel, you need to have Grayson Allen shooting the ball more because, one, he's the best shooting guy in the entire NBA, and two, it opens up the offense even more, and that's what we saw from him tonight because he was taking the ball to the rim as he does. He has a really deceptive first step, and we saw that a couple times tonight, and he converted on those plays where one was a beautiful left-handed dunk, and then the other one was kind of a wraparound curl shot that went in off a bank shot. But, I mean, he just I want to see more Grayson Allen shoot. That's kind of the moral of my story.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of said what I was going to say about him just being an underrated finisher. And like you said, like a sneaky first step, if you will. You know, he's got that kind of football body. You're a bigger football guy than me, but he does. And one thing, too, I saw on the broadcast, Grayson Allen is close. He's a candidate for the 40, 50, 90 club or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think his 50, 40, free throw. I think the free throw percentage needs to come up just like a couple, you know, percentage points. But he's almost there, man. And we all know he's had an incredible season. And I just absolutely love the fact that Matt Ishbia said he wants to bring him back, hopes and expects to bring him back. Yes. Fingers crossed. Make it happen, Matt Ishbia.
You got the bird rights, man. Make it happen. That'd
you got
fantastic.
The owner of the team saying, I want to bring him back. So that's a good thing.
That's fantastic. Yep. Eric Gordon had a great game off the bench tonight.
From Indiana University, number 23, Eric Gordon.
I just realized in that drop, I still have a bunch of Eric Gordon on the Clippers shots. I haven't updated that to any Sun shots. I thought I did that. Silly me. We're only 67 games into the season.
It's a lot of drops for you. It's a lot of editing. I get it, man.
It is. And I make these things in the summertime. But a fantastic night for him coming off the bench tonight, which is what we need to see. He had 14 points on 4 of 8 from beyond the arc and 5 of 9 overall shooting, 2 assists, 1 rebound. One of his better performances off the bench. As we've noted numerous times, he's somebody who shoots the ball clearly better when he's a starter. Over 50% from the field, or I'm sorry, from 3-point land. And it's a drastic drop off when he's coming off of the bench. There's only a few times when he scored 14 or more coming off the bench. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times this season has he had more than 14 points coming off the bench. And that's considering that, you know, 25th game as a backup. So great to see him back. Great to see him healthy. Great to see him contribute, man, because it was getting pretty nasty out there on Twitter relative to Eric Gordon, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I think Frank Vogel talked about this a little bit. Like, he was coming back from the injury. There was, you know, he was in and out of the lineup and in and out of games and everything. And that's just, that happens. It's going to happen. I wasn't really part of the slander. Like, I understood the slander because sometimes you hurt the team more than you're helping the team and everything.
Yep.
And I sort of referenced this earlier, how Eric Gordon was one of the first people saying, like, we should be averaging 130 points and making the three fly and everything. But again, this is just another bonus, another icing on the cake for this Phoenix Suns team. And I know that like 14 points, you know, may not sound like a lot. He also had 2 assists, but I will take that. If we can get this version of Eric Gordon headed into the playoffs, man, I will take it. 4 for 8 shooting from 3. Absolutely huge. And we needed every little bit of it, man.
We did. And you know, Kip says in the chat, define great game, please. His shot went in some, but I still didn't love his D at all. I agree with you. A great game for Eric Gordon is he's providing an offensive output on the bench. That's the way that I define great game for him, because I know that he is kind of a pigeon on defense. And I know that what his role is when Devin Booker and or Bradley Beal are not on the court, that he can come in and continue the offensive production.
Yep.
That is what we've needed from him the entire season, and we haven't received that from him the entire season. When he starts, he shoots great. When he's coming off the bench, he shoots not great or doesn't shoot at all. He's very disengaged. Tonight, he was engaged. Tonight, we needed him and every member of that bench to assist, because the big three, as I mentioned earlier, just, you know, 37.7% from the field tonight, just kind of an off night for the big three. So you have to kind of take it where you can get it, and I'll take it with him. You know, finally going 4 of 8 from beyond the arc and shoot himself out of a little bit of a slump. Another guy who has definitely been slumping and, you know, only had 5 points tonight, but he finally hit a 3. It was nice to see Rolls Royce.
Yeah, bling, bling, bling. Rolls Royce, Rolls Royce, Rolls Royce, yeah, never Rolls Royce.
We needed him to hit a shot finally. I mean, he had a rough about 3-game stretch there for the Suns against Cleveland and the 2 against Boston. I think I had the stat last night. He was 1 of 17 in the 2 games against Boston this season as a member of the Phoenix Suns. Not good. We're going to need more production from him moving forward. 15 minutes tonight. You know, again, it's the Charlotte Hornets, so it's not like, you know, if we look at defensive ratings and anything like that, it's going to turn out great. We only gave up 96 points. But to see some offensive output is what was definitely needed from this team. And we're going to need more of that from Rolls-Royce coming up as well. And Matthew made a great point on the podcast last night. He needs Josh Okogie out there with him, it feels like. They really are. They have this little
tandem. We need Josh Okogie out there.
Isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy? Because like Josh Okogie can't hit a three at all, but there's a certain... It's the energy. I mean, what did we talk about for the first 20 minutes of this podcast?
Energy.
Is the lack, the energy of the Phoenix Suns, the lackadaisicalness. Like, you don't get
grit.
The grit, yeah. Those are all adjectives that you use to describe Josh Okogie's play and what Royce O'Neale can bring at times as well.
Yeah, no, you said a key word earlier, production. That's what I feel like we need out of Royce O'Neale, because when he first got here and before this little recent slump that he's in, it seemed like he was the plus minus god. And I'm not really a big plus minus guy, but it's true, man. You look at some of his early numbers, he was stuffing the stat sheets out there. I always said that he has super active hands, which he really does. He's a really like high IQ player, especially when it comes to like his assist to turnover ratio and all that. Just a great player and everything, but man, as of late, it's sometimes like I know he's on the court, but I don't, like, he's not there, he's not really doing much. But hey, I will take it tonight, because any points that we can get, like I've mentioned, I've said it over and over again, is an absolute bonus. And as Kevin Durant always says, it's a make or miss league, so hopefully he can keep it up. And I kind of like how Josh Okogie kind of took over our segment there, but he has been missed, man. I hope he comes back soon, because we're going to need him.
Yeah, I heard it's getting close. So, you know, we should know soon, because that game in Milwaukee is going to be a tough one, which we'll talk about here momentarily. Yeah. So I'll ask you this question, Suns geek: Kermit the Frog or Batman?
Kermit the Frog, man. Let's hear it. Let's do it.
Okay, let's do Kermie. The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout. Well, I'm Kermit the Frog, and I'm here to do the subreddit stakeout, apparently. Batman is on vacation. He's on spring break, and I think he might be hanging out with Miss Piggy, that son of a bitch. He has my woman. If anybody sees Batman, fuck that guy. Anyways, I was hanging out on the subreddit for the Charlotte Hornets, and let me tell you something, my fellow ladies and jamsters. Not a very engaging place. There were practically no comments, and if you were a Hornets fan, would you comment, or would you just carry the fuck on with your life? I would carry on with my... I would try to find Batman. Anyways... Here's the three comments that we have for the subreddit stakeout tonight. So on the subreddit of the Charlotte Hornets. Poku versus Bol Bol in the battle of the real Wemby. I fucking hate Nurkic, bro. Micić sent KD into the shadow realm. And that's all I have for the subreddit stakeout. Bye, everybody. The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout. I'm an idiot.
That was so damn good, dude. Applause, applause. Everybody put in the chat, clapping emojis right now. That was so good, dude. And you know I'm a Batman fanboy, but I had to see Kermit the Frog, man. I had to, bro.
Yeah, Batman will be back. He's on, like, I think Kermit said, he's out on spring break. So, you know, we'll see.
Whoever how that commented goes. The Shadow Realm comment, that's funny, man, because I played some Yu-Gi-Oh back in the day. So that's
nice.
Pretty funny.
Yes. Yu-Gi-Oh. Yeah. Those are the cards, right?
I didn't want to. Yeah. The Yu-Gi-Oh cards that came out like after Pokemon and all that.
Right. Yeah. Well, my little brothers all played them. I was just like, I was just a little bit too old for
I was a little nerd, man, back in junior high school and high school, and I played that. I still have some cards too. I'm a nerd, man.
It's like Yu-Gi-Oh.
I didn't want to interrupt, though. That was just so damn good. I wanted to say so much stuff.
We're getting a lot of clap emojis. Yep. So again, thank you, everyone.
That was so good, man. I don't know how you do the Batman voice either. My voice would be gone after every segment of that.
I like that we do it at the end of the pod, because sometimes it's
brutal.
It's brutal. I'm just like, let's hand out the jams.
Jam star of the game.
All right, Jamsters and Geek Squad. If you're watching along live, let us know in the comments who your jam star of the game is. If you happen to be listening to the Sons Jam Session podcast, wherever you're listening, give us 5 stars. If it's on Apple Podcasts, write us a review too. We'll read it right here on the pod. Interested to see where we're going to give out some love tonight. Kip is going to go ahead and give it to Nurk. Suns Fever says the jam star is Nurk. Do you agree with that, Suns Geek?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely Yusuf Nurkic. And again, he had a great game last game. He's just been a consistent, dominant force all season long. I love what Nurkic has done. And one quick thing, because we already praised Yusuf Nurkic earlier in the show. I love how just great of a teammate he is, especially on Twitter. He's always tweeting, showing love to his teammates and everything. Big shout out to Yusuf Nurkic, man. If you are ever watching Nurkic, we love you, man.
Amen, man. And hopefully he does give us a watch. Hope he likes the Nurkalicious
drop.
Hope
he does.
John Tran says, is Nurkic the jam star? Finding ways to make Ramadan into Jamadon. Amen to that. And David Ray does give it to Booker with the 21 and 11. Maya B says her jam star is Suns Geek. So
yeah, let's go.
appreciate you coming on the show and helping out with Matthew working late tonight. So,
of course.
Next game up for the Phoenix Suns, it is going to be a 10 a.m. game here in Phoenix. It's what, 12 o'clock your time, I believe. So
gotta wake Sunday up early, drink some coffee or beer because it's St. Patty's Day.
Oh, it is St. Patty's Day. Shit. Man.
I'm gonna be drinking that day. I don't even care.
I'm Irish. I have a doctor's appointment the next morning too. It's not even like I can go and have a good time. Although the last time I had that doctor's appointment was the day after the Super Bowl, and I had a good time in the Super Bowl. So maybe I'll have me a couple of Guinness or something.
Yeah, crack open a couple.
I'll crack open a Guinness first thing in the podcast. I'll talk Irish the whole time. Irish eyes are smiling upon me. I'm 50% Irish. I got a little leprechaun tattooed right here too. Look at this. Look at this jam.
Oh, that's awesome.
Look at that. Ba, ba, ba,
let's go. He's flexing on us too.
Yeah. Go Notre Dame. But of course we're playing a team that has green in their colors, the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that is currently the second seed in the Eastern Conference at 43-24. Ooh. Their next game will be against the Phoenix Suns, team that's starting to kind of put it together post All-Star break. Yep. They're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 3 since the All-Star break, starting to play some better defense overall, a plus 3.3 net rating, which is ninth best in the league. They are fourth in the league in points, 20th in opposing points. What are your thoughts on the Milwaukee Bucks?
I'm kind of scared, man, because it's an early game. And I just feel like most teams in the NBA just have weird games when it's early. You know what I mean? But and it's just like you mentioned. You mentioned all their stats. You know, they got Giannis, Dame, et cetera. They are just so damn good. And they're playing better at the right time. And that's kind of a topic we talked about earlier with the Phoenix Suns. They're not coasting right now. If anything, they're playing better when it really matters.
Yep.
That's a sight to see. So it's going to be a tough game. Hopefully the Phoenix Suns actually wake up early and play well for that game. And we talked about so many people. We talked about Nurkic and Grayson and Royce. We're going to need all those guys, everybody on deck for that game. You know what I mean?
100%. And this is, and maybe that's why the Suns were disengaged tonight, because it was a trap game. They won the game. Mm-hmm. And they knew upcoming they had the Milwaukee Bucks after, think about this road trip. Okay, a 4-game road trip. You're playing the top team in the East. You're playing the third top team in the East in the Cleveland Cavaliers. And now you're playing the second top team in the East. It's not an easy road trip to navigate. And the Suns, if they win this game, they can go through it and go 3-1 with their only loss coming at the hands of the number one team, not only in the East, but in the NBA.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that they do have in playing in their favor is it is a Sunday game. They are 9-4 on Sundays this year, Geek. So we got that going for us, which is nice.
Yeah.
So John Tran asks in the chat, he says, how are they from three? Well, let me tell you, they are.
Good question.
They have the 10th best 3-point shooting percentage in 37.4%. They make the 5th most and attempt the 6th most threes in the league. And that makes sense. You have Dame Lillard on this team. He averages 8.6 3-point attempts per game. And then Malik Beasley, one of the top 3-point shooters in the league, is shooting 6.7 3-point attempts per game. And even Brooke Lopez, he's third on the team.
That's what I was going to say. Brooke Lopez can hit him too.
They all can hit him. So this is a team. And don't forget, Jay Crowder's on this team as well. So a team that likes to spread the floor and shoot the three ball and then attack you with Giannis. Giannis shoots 1.8 3 points per game, and he's making 29.2% of them.
And so, if there's ever a game where the Phoenix Suns need to guard the damn 3-point line, especially after getting killed by the Celtics in that department, this is going to be it, because that, you know, they're going to launch it. They're going to read the report and they're going to launch it.
And the Hornets as well. The Hornets shot it 37 times tonight. They just only hit six. They were 16.2% from deep, and they had plenty of wide open threes. Yeah. The Suns' perimeter defense is poor.
Guard that 3-point line. Just I don't understand it, man.
I don't either. It's they collapse too easily. It's I don't know. I mean, so we'll see. We'll see come Sunday. So be sure to join us then. I do know that Maya B says, please have Suns Geek back to talk about all playoff games. Guarantee you that will happen, Maya B. We've been collaborating with Suns Geek for seasons now, multiple. We love having you on the show, as I hope that you like having us on your channel as well. It's always good to shoot the shit with you, to have good basketball conversations. Even when you're not feeling 100%, you're still showing up. So appreciate you there, my friend.
Well, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you so much for the kind words, Maya, and everybody else. And again, thank you, John, for allowing me to do this, because I know it helps you guys out, but it also helps my channel out. I really do appreciate this collaboration. And I know you guys will be doing your thing during the playoffs, but again, like, anytime you guys need me, man, just give me a buzz and I'll try to help you guys out.
Oh, big time, man. That's
especially
what it's
around
about.
The playoffs too, man. I'll be locked in, bro.
You and me both, man. I can't wait. And that's where I'm at right now. Maybe I'm like, maybe the Phoenix Suns are taking on my personality, and I'm like, dude, just get to the playoffs.
Yep.
We're like 15 games away. I'm like, it's March 15th now. It's beautiful outside. It's like, just bring on the playoffs.
It's weird, man, too, because like the season ends like April, mid-April. It's like, it still feels like we got a lot of games left, but we really don't. Like, it's going to go by like that.
Yeah, it's like 3-4 games a week. Yeah. All of a sudden, boom, it's over. So get ready for it, ladies and jamsters and Geek Squad. The playoffs are around the corner, and we'll be here to cover them for you on both of our channels. So until then, make sure you follow me at Darth Voida. Read my writing at Bright Side of the Sun. Follow the show at Suns Jam. Suns Geek, tell them where to follow you.
Yeah, just search Suns Geek on YouTube, and you'll find me.
That's all you got to do. And as my normal co-host Matthew would say, go home and love your family.